Welcome to Slingstones, a podcast with insights for the Christian journey. And now your host, Terry Wardle.
Father in heaven, we gather together in the name of Jesus, your Son, our Lord. We pray that the Holy Spirit would be with us, move in us, stir us. Speak to our hearts today, we pray, that we might experience you at a new and deeper level. As I said, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I was reading an article the other day. It's been out there for a long, long time by Brandon Voigt, and it was about Mother Teresa. And Brandon Voigt asked the question, how can you keep serving the poor, the sick, the dying with such vigor? What is your secret? How do you do that? And Mother Teresa responded, whenever I meet someone in need, it's really Jesus in his most distressing disguise. Wow. I serve those in need because it's Jesus in his most distressing disguise. Jesus invites all of us to begin to recognize that he is present among the poor, and he wants us to have a commitment to serve the poor, not just the poor economically, but the poor in spirit, the poor in relationship. And that's part of what we do because Jesus is there. And that the more we gaze at the face of Christ, the more we will see the glimpses of the face of Christ, even in the destitute, in their most distressing disguise. I mentioned before my slight affiliation with the Salvation Army. I taught some courses up at their school in Suffern, New York. But also my experience of going to New York City, to their headquarters there, and seeing the degree to which these servants pour themselves out for the broken and the battered, for those that are trapped in the prison of addiction, who are in bondage because of the poverty that is in their lives. And as I said before, the people of the Salvation Army, they love the people that Jesus loves. And they love the fact that Jesus is present among the broken and among the poor. They spend most of their time, the Salvation Army, helping those who can do little for themselves. Sometimes those who can actually do nothing for themselves. And I have, as mentioned again previously, been captured by the phrase Jesus uses, the least of these. And our call to be active and to be caring for the least of these. I want to read a scripture to you, and then we're going to talk about it a little bit. It comes from Matthew chapter 25, beginning with verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people from one from another, as shepherds separate sheep and goats. He'll put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? And the king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. then also will answer, they also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison, and we did not help you? He will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for the one of the least of these, you did not do for me. It's interesting to me that in this picture of judgment, as the king is sitting and the angels have come, that it doesn't seem that Jesus, the king, is going to bring up the individual sins that we did. Things such as our thought life, or we wandered into immorality, or we were nasty to someone. What Jesus says is going to be brought up is the degree to which we served the least of these. You know, we've talked about it before, how the world values power and prestige and privilege and performance. And we've also talked about the fact that some of that leaks into the life of the church, and we as God's people, pretty soon we begin to value the same things, and we get caught up into the whole comparison and competition game. It happens. We can wander in that direction. But what Jesus is calling us back to is to remember that there are different values in the kingdom of God. And one of those values that seems so central to walking the way of Jesus is being attentive to the least of these. That's a powerful phrase, the least of these. You know, when Jesus mentioned that phrase, he would have been talking in that time about the poor, the leprous, Samaritans, the blind, the paralyzed, tax collectors, sinners, Gentiles. These would have been the individuals that would have been shunned, and they would have been shamed. As a matter of fact, in that particular time and in the culture, if someone even walked near who had sinned or who had touched a dead body or who had a rash even, that everybody was yelling unclean and pushed them away. And they didn't want to have a thing to do with these people. And certainly the Samaritans, well, that was a whole race of people that they didn't want to have a thing to do with. And yet Jesus says that on that day, on that great sorting out day, one of the things that will be important is the degree to which our hearts have bent toward the least of these. And have we not only had compassion for them, but have we in some way cared for them? Have we in some way done something that would relieve their burden, that would let them know that we as Christians care about their heartache and their brokenness? Do you know, years and years ago, particularly in Europe, there were sanctuary laws. And the sanctuary laws were such that if there was someone that was being chased by authorities or they were being pushed away, if they could get inside a church, they could always find sanctuary there. The authorities would not be able to get them there. And if they got inside the church, there they could receive care and comfort. Well, I think we're still to be a sanctuary. We're still to be sacred space. We're still to be attentive to the least of these. So I began to ask the question of myself, and I'm going to pose it here, is in our world today, who are the least of these? Now, certainly part of it is those who are actually thirsty, actually naked, actually hungry, actually poor. But what about those who have been disenfranchised, those that are being marginalized, those that are often being put down by majority cultures, those that are being told they can't cross over, come into a place of abundance, they're not allowed here? I wonder if that's part of the least of these. And what Jesus seems to be saying is that on that great sorting out day, this will be part of what the conversation will focus upon, the degree to which we have had compassion for the least of these. Look, when Jesus came as the friend of sinners, he spent a lot of time with the least of these, healing the sick, touching the leprous, embracing those that others were pushing away. eating with tax collectors and sinners. And boy, did the religious leaders of the day hate that. Even in that amazing story where there's a man at the pool of Bethesda and he's never been healed, and Jesus heals him and says, "Get up your mat, pick up your mat and walk," and he does, and he's healed. The religious leaders were all over it with judgment because they thought Jesus didn't obey the rules, and the rules were even more important than the least of these. I think I have to really come to grips with this, because it seems that Jesus is saying that if you're going to walk my way the way I walked it, some of the very people that others are trying to keep out, you need to be embracing. Some of those that others are saying go away, we need to be able to welcome. And that we should be active in caring for marginalized people. You see, we've got to be careful that we do not divide ourselves because of class or race or religion or economy or culture, but that we recognize that we're all God's children. And God cares about all of his children. And he wants his children to care for all of his children. And therefore, we have to be willing to go, as it says here, and find Jesus when he's in his most distressing disguise. People we would normally not want to spend time with may, in fact, in that moment, be the face of Christ that we are to serve. Thinking about this, I recently looked at the motto that's on the Statue of Liberty. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuge of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed, to me. It seems that we're at a time where there are individuals shouting, "We don't want you anymore." But these were my generation of folk. Yeah, no matter how long ago it was, when they made that passage and they became part of the immigrating community with nothing, they were the tired and the poor and those yearning to breathe free. In some people's eyes, the wretched refuse of their teeming shores. And yet here they found that even if they were homeless and tempest-tossed, they too could embrace the dream. What are you and I doing for the least of these? I think that's an important question. Let's go before the Lord and ask him to give us eyes to see so that it will not be said of us that you did not feed me when I was hungry or clothe me when I was naked or give me something to drink, but instead we will recognize that every one of those opportunities is an opportunity to serve our Lord Christ. Thank you.